Brian.
So Joy's question, what's on WBAI now? Like us, most of the programs they have are produced by volunteers. Those obviously didn't change. The daily shows they had that were produced by paid staffers who were laid off were replaced by daily shows from other stations. So Mitch's show is on there. Margaret Prescott from L.A. is on there. Ian Masters' show from L.A. is on there. And they've gone through several different configurations in their morning drive time. I don't know what they're doing now. There's a question was, how would we make money by selling the station?
No.
So you sell the FCC license.
You sell the signal.
We can sell our FCC license to somebody else.
Right. Well. So WBAI is at 99.5 FM. They are 59,000 watts, which is more than you can get permission from the FCC to broadcast today. They're grandfathered at that amount, and they're in the middle of the commercial spectrum. So they are the most valuable license owned by Pacifica, and no one knows exactly what something's worth until you put it up for bid, but it's clearly in the tens of millions. Yes, the FCC has to approve the transfer, and under our bylaws, the entire membership of Pacifica would have to vote on it for it to move forward. So ballots would have to go out at all five stations.
It's about 70.
Now it's Janet.
Oh, you're not done. Running through questions.
Okay. And if you speak, use the fan. Okay.
Don's questions was, what assurances can we get that WBAI can tread water? We can't get any assurances aside from hard financial data. If they have been, as some people in New York are asserting, basically holding their heads above water for the past 6 months since they made all these reductions, and their only problem is they have all these unpaid bills from the prior era piled up, it's a very different problem to solve. I mean, that's my opinion. You know, it's not. I would not be happy with someone saying, "Well, we have a great plan to raise money in the future." You know, if you're already doing it, great. I'm not going to speculate about Summer's credibility. And on the HR position, the only thing I will say, just to clarify, is that Pacifica has an HR firm who it gives contract work to, like background checking. As Summer said in her email, she's able to pay for that service. When Pacifica did have an in-house HR consultant at the start of the year, and I think Joy would probably back me up on this, that person met with the hiring committee, promised to do a bunch of stuff, and then didn't do any of it and was not helpful in moving the hiring process forward. So.
Absolutely right.
Janet?
So it's my understanding that when it comes to a license sale, I don't know if Joy is or, well, anyway. Okay, we could offer a license for sale, but we cannot choose who will buy it. So it might end up in the hands of some commercial entity. The FCC has some say in it, and et cetera. Okay, we have different information on that. So as far as WBAI's assurances or to raise money, there have been some semi, I don't know, Herculean efforts to raise money, and it's been somewhat successful, but it's still not enough to cover the severance pay, et cetera, et cetera. So there's still issues. With regards to my references to irregularities in the election of the chair, I mean, there are many different things. The ballots that were used for all of the elections of the officers were designed for, like, STV voting, and there were two candidates, at least for chair, running, and so there were five rankings where it should not have been the case. Should have been an IRV kind of ballot. The instructions for voting were actually debated. I mean, there were several different instructions, so it was confusing in the end how to vote, how to fill out the ballots. And the determination of the winner, because it was a sort of a double tie on the first ranking and then the second ranking, and then somebody voted something on the fifth ranking, and that was the determining vote, and it doesn't really fit with an IRV election where you have two candidates that you determine somebody the winner by a fifth ranking. Anyway, so it's controversial. People have different views of it, and so that's what I mean by irregularities. Let's see, any other... Yes, I'm not going to comment on Summer Reese's credibility. And, okay, I'm done.
Jose Luis, did you have anything you wanted to add? We still have an amendment. I just want to call people's attention to the time, just as a matter of calling attention to it. It is 10 after 12, and we have... The report from San Jose, we have the amendment that is on the floor, and we have the San Jose report before we get into the discussion of the bylaws. Jose Luis.
So I'm going to go to Donald's question, the finances of WBAI. You know, the first quarter for WBAI, October of 2013 to December of 2013, the end, WBAI... was in the positive by $123,943. Their shared services to Pacifica was $161,000. So if they did, it looks like from the books they did pay that, and they're on the negative of $37,000. But overall, they showed positive numbers, and they were able to pay their shared expenses now that they're down to two staff. And if that continues, they're able to meet their obligations and pay something to the central services. So they are doing good in my books, and this is positive, and we continue this current process with them in the next quarters. We don't have to be talking about LMAs with the WBAI. Also, WBAI listenership, they bring in $2,352,681 a year. We bring in $2,508,108 in listener support. This is for October 12, 2012 to September 30th, 2013. Those aren't chump change numbers. WBAI brings in the money. Now, we've cut them down, and there's maybe some other budgetary things that they need to do, and they're on the way of doing it. I think Brian's correct and to Mel's question and Andrea's question on the HR. Summer has access to money. The national office's expenses are $2,533,946 a year. That is almost equal to what they what we spend. And that is a lot of money. She has access to HR. She uses legal. She has access to all the resources she has to hire our general manager if she wants to do it. That's all I have.
All right. Can we move to the amendment?
No, it's a motion.
All right, Burton's motion. Can we have that read again?
Yeah, it should say higher. Okay. I was going to make that amendment if Burton is willing to change.
There's no objection. I have changed the word appoint to higher. If there's no objection, I have changed the word appoint to hire.
That's right. Good.
Okay, so the motion reads now the KPFA local station board requests of the Pacifica National Board that it direct Summer Reese to hire a KPFA general manager prior to the April 2014 meeting of the KPFA local station board.
Good. And there's a second. Okay. Don, Joy, Brian. Oh, we'll have everybody. Let's just have everybody speak on this. We want to hear what everybody thinks. Don.
I would suggest...
Run the time, Brian.
No need the time. I would just suggest that you add the words from the four candidates provided to her by this station.
Second. By the local station board.
All right, so that amendment is now on the table.
Can I just accept it? No, we have to vote on it.
All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. Are there any people opposed? Of their abstentions? Okay, there's two abstentions. Okay. Three abstentions. Okay. Joy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait a second. Craig wants to get this.
Okay, so I would like us to try a different tact right now. I want to try to help Summer if she doesn't have the support and the staff that she needs for whatever reason, if it's not money, whatever. And I think it would be... it would be insensitive of us to direct her to do something that she just sent us an email saying she's going to do. So, and in fact, she says she's going to do it sooner than the deadline of April 15th. And I want to remind you that she hasn't listened to any of the other things we've asked her to before. So why waste time on that? Can we move on? That's what I'm trying to say. Not that I would... don't think we should do it. I just think this is not the opportune or appropriate time. I would like to give her the benefit of the doubt, and we still have the opportunity to do this at a later date.
Brian.
I was going to make Don's amendment.
David.
David Welsh. I have a question because it seems like when they appoint general managers, it's often an interim general manager. So does this a motion have to do with appointing an interim general manager or a regular general manager?
Hiring a general manager.
And then I have a question. Why is it sometimes an interim general manager rather than a general manager?
Who do you want to ask that? All right, that's David's question. We'll put Joy on the list. Frank.
I guess I would just kind of second what Joy said. We've all been waiting. It seems like the email has now been out. I personally have sent out two emails as a staff representative and never got a response. You know, I was surprised to see she existed when she sent out that one about the program changes, and I was, oh, she is there. She does listen. But in light of the email coming today, I would just say with Joy, let's give her the benefit of the doubt, and it hopefully will come in this month, in the end of this month, and let's just, if not, we could just vote at the next LSB meeting to do it. I would just say let's hold out and see if it happens by the next LSB meeting on its own.
Janet.
Yes, ditto what Frank and Joy said, but I also want to bring up that the PNB does not have the power to micromanage the ED. The bylaws say that the ED makes an appointment from a pool of candidates. It doesn't say within a certain amount of time. So I don't think this is appropriate. Although I do want a GM hired quickly. KPFA.
It's only been how long? How long has it been?
October, but everybody's saying November, so 4 months.
Well, how long since we've had a general manager? How many years?
So
that's a really long time. Okay, Joy, you were going to answer the question?
Well, actually, 3 years. We had one for 2 weeks.
So the executive director of Pacifica has the power to select an interim general manager, but there is a hiring process for a permanent, and we went through that process. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's in the bylaws. In answer to your question, David.
Brian?
So I just want to say I do think this is important. If we believe in the principle of having a manager at KPFA, that we as the elected representatives of its staff and listeners have a role in selecting. Because if we don't exercise that power, we lose it. Right? When a manager leaves, the executive director at Pacifica picks whoever they want without consultation and puts them in. And when we do the work, and for those of us on the committee, this was months of hard work.
It was.
Posting, sifting through applications, going through multiple rounds of interviews. When we go through that work to create a pool of candidates who this board approves of and the executive director blows it off, what they're saying is, I'm going to be the only person in control of who manages KPFA. Now, this board went through the proper hiring process 2 years ago. Arlene Engelhardt flat out refused to make a hire from that pool, which was a negation of this board's power under the bylaws. And we've been blown off for 4 months. I mean, we basically got no communication from Summer on this at all until a little over a month ago. So I think it's totally appropriate and necessary if we want to maintain that principle that we talk to Summer's boss, which is the national board. We're a committee of the national board. We're supposed to advise them on how KPFA is running. And this says, hey, enforce the bylaws. Make your executive director do what she's supposed to.
Paula?
Yes, I support what Brian said because, first of all, these people have been waiting for 4 months. We don't know, you know, I don't know if anybody's been in contact with them. Are they still waiting around to see if they're going to get hired for this job? And I think there's a way to send this amendment to the PNB, this motion to the PNB, so it doesn't have to be looked upon as not supporting her, but just reinforcing that this needs to get done.
All right. Are we going to have a vote? All right. Is the question called?
Yes.
All right. Question is called. All those in favor of the motion.
I'm sorry. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
We can have a roll call vote.
And can we have
Will you want to read the motion again?
Please.
Craig, do you want to read the motion? Or here, I'll read the motion. The KPFA Local Station Board requests of the Pacifica National Board that it direct Summer Rees to hire a KPFA general manager from the four candidates referred to her by the KPFA LSB prior to the April 2014 meeting of the KPFA Local Station Board. Okay, a roll call.
So Alderson, I vote yes. Boschman?
Yes.
Boschman, yes. Bernstein, not here. Edwards Tiekert?
Yes.
Edwards Tiekert, yes. Urkola?
Yes.
Urkola, yes. Fuentes?
Yes.
Fuentes, yes. Gans?
Yes.
Gans, yes. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher, yes. Goen, not here. Hernandez, not here. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil, not here. Moore?
No.
Moore, no. Morgan, not here. Pritchett?
Abstain.
Pritchett abstains. Sanders?
Yes.
Sanders, yes. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Sterling? Sterling, no. Town-Nichols?
Abstain.
Town-Nichols abstains. Travis?
Yes.
Travis, yes. Welsh?
Abstain.
Welsh abstains. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman, yes. White? White?
Yes.
White, yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson, yes. So that's 13 yes. 4 no. 3 abstentions.
Okay. I think we are now to the San Jose report. Andrea?
Applause before the report.
There we go. This better be good. Well, we actually did have sort of a positive situation that happened. We did manage to secure a place in San Jose, the San Jose Peace and Justice Center. We brought some KPFA staff down there. We contacted local organizations. We had maybe 15 San Jose folks, maybe a similar number of KPFA folks, and I thought it was very positive. I sent out the comments that people that we spoke with down there had, and it reveals, you know, some of their frustrations, reveals some maybe inconsistencies in protocols that exist within the station. Some of the local groups are interested in KPFA because they want to get their events heard, or they want to get the issue that they're working on in the news. And we had some good conversation about how that does or doesn't happen. And whoever the new GM is, I hope they'll really think about traffic flow of information within KPFA, because community input and volunteers and knowing how to hook up and knowing how to make best use of this resource means that it grows loyalty and people feel like it's their station when they can see themselves reflected in it. So that meeting was good, and we have followed up. We had a meeting on Thursday with some folks. We're calling it sort of the outreach and the development efforts are sort of merged together. We're going to follow up. One of the suggestions that came out of the San Jose meeting was that we should try to actively co-sponsor events in San Jose. So Bob Baldock does a nice job of co-sponsoring, of getting us kind of wrapped up with some of the usual suspects like, Mecca and Global Exchange and some of these kind of tried and true ones. But to extend beyond that, so we have the possibility now of co-sponsoring an Angela Davis appearance on May 12th, I think it's San Jose State, right, with some organizations that are very grassroots, very community-based, 50-50 Crew, and also the African-American Faculty Association is also co-sponsoring Angela's appearance. So if we could kind of get in there. Again, what that reveals to us is that we the people who are making these contacts, don't really know what co-sponsorship means. And we're trying to figure out, is there some legal agreement? Is there, like, if Angela Davis, we wanted to use Angela Davis as a premium, how do we do that? Who authorizes that? When we put KPFA's name on a flyer, whose approval do we need to do that, to list them as a co-sponsor? So we need some help, because I think that there's energy to do this kind of stuff and really work. I think there's really strong energy in San Jose to meet new audiences and really kind of do some stuff there. So I'm very pleased. You know, John Hamilton came down, Pedro Reyes came down, Carla West, Vilma Ortiz, MC, moderated. Pedro Reyes, Frank Sterling, of course. Sorry, you're like the... You're just so omnipresent. Some members of the outreach committee, actually folks, drove all the way up. Virginia Browning drove all the way down there to offer support, and she offered pushing limits announcement about programming that was available there. So it was a good first step, but we have some, again, I still harbor the hope that we're going to be able to do a bus sign campaign and a visibility campaign in San Jose that would kind of reinforce some of these relationships we're trying to create. I'm hoping that the LSB is going to make a special effort to do some of that fundraising. Anyway, we have another, our next outreach meeting, our next development meeting for this effort will be on March 18th at 6 p.m. at the station. I definitely encourage LSB members who really want to do something, quit chomping at the bit. It'll be here in a minute. But you can come and help. So I'm just kidding. So if anybody has any questions about what we're up to or any suggestions for help, I'd love to hear it.
I have Frank and then Margie. And Paula and Barbara.
I would just add, like, being part of it, I think it is a very positive step. And some of the feedback that we got, especially with the 50-50 crew and this Angela Davis thing coming up out of it, It looks to be promising in my eyes. And Andrea, if you check your email, Bob Baldock sent you a good email about that. So there's a lot of feedback from Bob there about what it means to be a sponsor and what we do. It's about getting permission to rebroadcast Angela Davis and, you know, and gain money from her premiums. All that's in there. And I just think it was a great idea. And I do, I'll just second Andrea's thoughts on carrying on our outreach out there, the, hopefully the bus sign campaign. But I think the next great step is going to be doing this broadcast from San Jose State and looking into getting John the Perales, the video stream guy. This should be one of those projects where we also do the video stream. So I just feel like it's a very promising first step. And that was just our first step. You know, when this continues on, I think this is going to be great for KPFA.
Margie.
Hi. Yeah, it sounds really wonderful. I have a friend who lives in San Jose who's a longtime subscriber to KPFA, and she happened to learn about the meeting, although I don't think she attended. She doesn't. She has mobility problems. But she learned about it because she's active with the Peace and Justice Center and not from KPFA. So I was curious to know if the what the outreach was to current subscribers in the San Jose area.
The strategy we were trying to take was that we weren't trying to go for actually quantity. We weren't because the venue that we had was only seats like 25 or 30 people, and I was unusually uptight about that actually, because we had folks from KPFA that were excited to come down there, but I was like nervous that we didn't have enough room for the San Jose people. We were trying to get representatives from groups to come, and so we weren't trying to do a mass mobilization. You know, for a co-sponsored event, we were talking about possibly, trying to co-sponsor a Cinco de Mayo activity at Mexican Heritage Plaza in San Jose, and trying to just again to be visible, to be like, to make a big visual impact. So we were getting representatives of groups. So what I take away from that is that we're trying to build relationships. And the cool thing is that Shelby Minister, she shot back exactly what we were looking for. We're looking for an opportunity to co-sponsor. So hopefully, if we do that, we'll build those relationships. And what's really cool is to find staff who want to do that. The other aspect we're talking about is that there are activists, young activists out there with their finger on the pulse, right? They're in the streets, they're on the ground, they're in the neighborhoods. To teach them, you know, and the degree to which KPFA can engage in anything that doesn't directly yield money. But I think sometimes those relationships are more valuable than the money. But we were talking about the possibility of, like, Mark Miracle and John Hamilton was talking about some of the classes that Mark Miracle does or people do in the newsroom, and trying to either work with folks from San Jose there or trying to stream some of those trainings, put them online somehow so that people not in the immediate area can get the information, work with it, and start to become a useful news resource for KPFA.
Yeah, San Jose Bureau.
Right. That apparently did exist in the form of one person at one time, but you know, to revive that. But again, you know, we've got to make those connections within the station community to make that effective.
Paula.
I had several questions. I was just wondering how many subscribers we have down there.
1,038.
Oh, okay. Because I think up in the North Bay we've got like 4,000 or something like that. Yeah. And then I was wondering, I presume we're not really covering their news as well as we ought to. And then the other thing is, do they have other stations down there that are covering some of their, you know, urgent activist kind of news?
There was a wonderful, there was one guy who spoke to us who he named off, you know, there's KKUP, there's KSJL, there's those kind of stations in that area. Nothing that's really doing local kind of community stuff, except the Spanish language stations are. And when he was talking about the mobilization, like the big immigrants' rights day that happened a couple years ago, he said that everybody was surprised, but he said really that message was carried on the Spanish language stations. So it was kind of hopeful because the input that we were getting is that radio is not dead in some communities. You know, it is not dead. It's just changing form a little bit. But people do listen to the radio. And not everybody is online. Not everybody is doing the online thing. So especially like in some of the demographics that we care about, you know, that are lower income or, you know, not necessarily tech-savvied out, the possibilities are there.
Well, thank you very much.
We just to keep people focused, it's 20 minutes to 1. At 1 o'clock, we have a special order of business. We have the bylaws and so forth, but in any case, Barbara, Janet, David.
My comment is really brief. I just want to thank Andrea and everybody else who went to all this effort, and I think it's great.
Yes. Janet.
Yes, I too want to appreciate Andrea for all the months of organizing, for having the vision of this project also, and there's a lot of hard work ahead, and hopefully we'll build San Jose up to 4,000 subscribers.
David. Ask David the mic.
Yeah, I thought it was an inspiring meeting, and there was some contacts there who are working with people at San Jose State who think that we could get some large attendance meetings at San Jose State, including a lot of students who were there. The other thing is that I know there's an idea that's been floated out there that radio is really a declining medium now with people going online and everything. But there are some communities that really still rely on radio as one of their main means of communications. The Latino community, the Haitian community in areas where there's a large Haitian population like Miami, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, where you have lots of listenership. So I think we have a very big signal, and we reach a huge territory, you know, for a radio station. And I think we should think about increasing, for example, our Spanish language programming. And I think that's maybe one solution to the problem of not having enough audience, not having enough financial support, and all that kind of thing. And so I think we really need to find ways of community input, including program council, but not limited to that, getting community input into what the programming is going to be and including what language the programming is going to be in. And an important component of that is promotion, because you're not going to be able to get anybody to watch it unless it's promoted. Now, one of the ways of promotion is through the community groups that you're working with who can promote it to their members. They know to turn in Wednesday at 6, and they'll hear a program that's of interest to them. Another way of promotion is like door-to-door, street meetings, and all kinds of methods that we could have if we have an organizing focus, an organizing approach to becoming the voice for unrepresented communities.
Cynthia?
Sorry if I'm repeating here. I want to support what David and Andrea said, that there definitely is a market for radio down there, because we could see these young radical people from the group San Jose, and they need more hours. Yeah, we got a couple hours of Spanish program, but not much. And if you've been to Haiti or any of the Latin American countries, you well know how important radio is. So it was very inspiring, and I really appreciated that some of our staff came down too, John Hamilton, Carla West from the news, got all that, was that good information across to these potential young people who might be sending in you know, news stories, and Vilma and Frank, and people from the apprentice programs, too. I don't know if it's going to be possible for them to come to the apprentice program, but it really made it, it was good, and 15 programs. And, of course, Margie's question is well taken, because if we have 1,000 members and have some quantity in that May program, that'll be really good and good promotion. And I just think it's, I mean, for someone who doesn't go to San Jose often, even if we know the way, you just see how big that place is. It dwarfs, it has for decades dwarfed San Francisco and, you know, land and people, et cetera. So enough, but thank you, Andrea, and I certainly plan to see if I can get to the meetings.
I guess we're not going to get to the amendments, but okay. Paula, Jose Luis, Janet, other names?
Okay. I have a point of order. Oh.
Okay.
Well, I don't know, is this still in response to Andrea's? Or
yes.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'll wait.
Okay. I was just going to say we've got this new bilingual station up in Santa Rosa. And I know Dennis Bernstein and Miguel Molino have been working with them. And so it just dawned on me that, like, couldn't, you know, one of our programs be on San Jose's Spanish radio program? You know, because I'm, you know, just talked to Dennis and Miguel Molino because they're coordinating with our new bilingual station in Santa Rosa.
Jose Luis.
Well, I just want to highly encourage folks that want Spanish language programming, that want other types of programming, to join the committees of the PMB. The Spanish, there's a task force, a Spanish language programming that is trying to address these issues that you folks are raising from San Jose. The development committee, likewise, a task force, and the affiliates as well. Those three committees, folks that are trying to start this in San Jose, should join them and see what they're going to say, because they're also having the same issues, and that's going to feed into the finances. And I know you've been raising financial issues, so you want to be on those committees at the Pacifica National Board that's going to end up determining finances and which way you go to help you out on this.
By the way, it has been raised that there are people here for public comment, and that they weren't here when that came up, but... Well, let's just make sure that we're finished with the discussion of the San Jose. Yeah. Are we finished with the discussion of San Jose? Okay.
Just to let you know, what we're trying to work on is like a template, like a way to have a campaign, because we would like to, Santa Rosa, Sacramento, there's other high-density areas that where we have good signal. So we don't want to dilute our efforts, but right now we want to try to kind of see what it takes to get some kind of synergy, some kind of buzz going, just focusing on that. And sadly, we didn't get any kind of help from the PMB. I was on the development committee, and it didn't do a blessed thing.
All right, so that concludes the that point. So I think we have two people who are interested in public comment. So we have... pardon me, Joy?
3 minutes.
So go ahead, Virginia.
Hi. So is this on? Yes. I wanted to say that my name is Virginia Browning, but I don't have to say that, apparently. But one of the news reporters that works as a volunteer on the KPFA weekend news, Ann Garrison, has received today a really high esteem of something called the Victoire Prize, named after a political prisoner in Rwanda, Uganda. And it was one of the last times that it was won by Robin Philpott, who's also an acclaimed international reporter. And Anne's done a lot of really good reporting work for Pacifica and has been denied a press pass by the Mark Merkel, Eileen Alfandorieri controllers of the news department, which is really a shame. Anyway, I mean, at least she does have an international audience that values her work. So one of the things I wanted to say, just for the record, because I have to say it, is, you know, I don't I imagine that Summer Reese will pick one of the people out of the pool of candidates, and I know that you guys all worked hard. I noted that, and I don't. It's not like I've conspired with anyone or talked with Ramses about this, but I do believe he was on the personnel committee that helped to choose those people, and yet he abstained from that motion. I think that it is well known in a larger KPFA community, and as a person that has done a lot of outreach, I know this from talking to people, hearing from people, that KPFA is known as an, quote, ungovernable entity because and managers come and go because there are a few staff people, Eileen is one, Mark Miracle, some of the other people here, who don't want to have a manager that is strong enough to provide guidelines. In fact, there, though there were, that's why the man, one of the reasons the man that stayed for just a few weeks left, because people would not even sign off on guidelines for behavior and procedures at the station. So, I mean, I just think it has to be put in context that if you're going to complain about not having a manager that's picked, handpicked by a group of many of you who are in one or two organizations with a lot of money behind you, I think it's worth, somebody has to say that in order for it to be an accessible station, there have to be ways for other voices to be able to be heard. I don't know about this governance structure that Pacifica has now with, you know, 20-something people. It is very unwieldy. But to have, just because there are organizations that exist with lots of money behind them and lots of resources that can control things, that makes it very uneven, too.
Hello, I guess you can hear me. I'm Daniel Borgstrom, and I'd like to mention a thing. I've mentioned this before. It's about the morning mix. I understand that there's that some people want to get rid of the morning mix and replace these programs with something that's piped in from elsewhere, from Los Angeles or wherever. Now, what comes to my mind immediately when I think of the morning mix is Richmond, the refinery in Richmond. There's and that's, I think it's Andrea Soto who reports on that. That's a local thing. The reason, there's about 5 different programs. Actually, there's probably 7 or 8 or maybe 9 or 10 people who host those shows. But I keep coming back to this one about Richmond because, you know, I walk along the bay, I look up there, and there I see Richmond right in front of me, that refinery, which every so often blows up, burns up, sends clouds of smoke wherever. And I think it's very important to have local reportage on that. Now, is that something that I need to convince anybody, or is there, I mean, who would think otherwise? Is that even the point to discuss or debate? Who would think that it's better to have something brought in from LA? And I keep asking that question. Then I look around and then I think, that's also up there, the refinery. And I imagine that for any of the other 4 shows, you could think of somebody in some who knows where who would want to get rid of them, not for good reasons, not for good KPFA reasons, but for other reasons. Anyway, that's what I have to say. Thank you for listening.
All right. Janet?
Yes. Given that the PNB bylaws amendments are a time-sensitive matter and it involves the governance of bylaws, involve the governance of the whole network, I would like to move to extend, since we have a time-certain 1 o'clock matter
on financial priorities. I'd like to move to extend the adjournment time to 2:30.
Is there a second?
I ain't never voted extend a meeting.
I'll second it. I made plans till 5 or till 4, so.
Oh.
Craig.
I'm just wondering if it comes to 3 o'clock, then we'll have to take another vote. And perhaps another way of doing this would be just to say, instead of making the adjournment time fixed, as the note at the bottom of the agenda says, we can just say it's advisory, and then we will be back to the usual position we're in these meetings with advisory time. The only time certain would remain is the special order of business.
Did you?
Well, I hate to say this, but since we're at this time, and it looks like there's not going to be time for the treasurer's report before we start the financial priorities, and I sort of feel like you all would have a little bit of information if we could have the treasurer's report before we go into the discussion of financial priorities. There are two things that I was going to hand out.
We're going to run the clock talking about how to deal with the fact that the clock is run.
Can I withdraw the motion and have go by Craig's recommendation?
My concern is also just kind of separate from that. I mean, we could rush through what I have to hand out, but I have two things to give you. One is one of those reports on how the income is coming in from the fund drive that just ended, and the other is a preliminary, a draft kind of financial statement for 4 months of this fiscal year.
Okay, so I think what we're doing is, I think what we're doing is that we are about to have a vote on whether or not these are now advisory times rather than time certain. All in favor, please signify by saying an aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Joy. So that is now in that situation. I want to raise something. We had just for consideration that I think we need to take a break, and I think we have to honor Barbara's notion that our special order of business on financial priorities can be are informed by the treasurer's report, so that when we come back, we will start with the treasurer's report.
What about bylaw amendments?
And well, this is special order, but then we'll have to go to the bylaw amendments after, because we've set up a time certain of the special order of business. But this is what I want to raise for people. We set up special order of business as a thing that we put in as a device in December that we said because we thought there were going to be all these people interested to show up at the time of our special order of business. And it turns out to be an awkward thing at each meeting. It screws up the agenda rather than helps the agenda. And we haven't had people lining up to come for our special order of business. And I think we should consider just taking that out and just setting up our times, which is not to say that we don't want to have a special order of business on the financial stuff, because we want to go through. We had pledged to have a discussion over the period of time on the budget, so that we were informed when we finally got to our budget choices, but that we don't have it fixed at 1 o'clock. And so that, anyway, I'm raising that before we go to a break. Okay. To think about. So, can we go to a break? Or you want to talk? I don't want to talk about this now. We'll talk about that later. If you want to talk about something else?
Well, no, actually, I just wanted to make the motion to remove the time certain feature of the special order of business. But we can do it after the break.
Okay. Well, let's I'll entertain that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Frank is opposed, and Jose Luis is opposed. And abstentions? Janet and Tina are abstaining. Okay.
How long is the break?
The break is 10 minutes.